It's Monday, March 31st, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 937, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get 32% off or pick up a domain name for $2.95. All my specials can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Hey, everyone, give a warm welcome to all of our longtime listeners in Ohana, folks that have been subscribed to the show for a while. Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Got a great show lined up for you tonight and a big announcement. I'm going to save it here for a few minutes. We'll get through the introductions. But if you're brand new to the show, I want to welcome you and I want to make sure you take some time and get over to geeknewscentral.com. You're going to find everything you need to get subscribed to the show right there on the main part of the website at geeknewscentral.com. All of the links to iTunes, an RSS feed, you can find the show. Of course, you know, there's a multitude of ways of get access to Geek News Central. And one of them, of course, is the newsletter as well. Click on the newsletter link, get signed up for that. That way you'll be guaranteed that you will receive the show, basically an email containing all the things I'm going to talk about tonight during the show. So get signed up for that. We're going to be bringing some new options to that feature here as we roll Geek News Central into its new site design. I'm really excited about that. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later. But, of course, if you want to reach out to me, it's real easy to do via Twitter at Geek News. Of course, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Anytime, really, just leave your comments, talk about the show, talk about topics, send me topics, and we'll make sure they get covered during our podcast every Monday and Thursday night here. Of course, you can follow on G+, follow on Facebook. And, of course, we want to make sure that you get over to Apple, into iTunes, and actually just leave a review from time to time. And we're going to start a new section on the website called Testimonials, where you can leave testimonials about the show. That's going to be forthcoming. So I'm excited about some of the cool things that we're going to be bringing to Geek News Central as part of our redesign and really kind of our kickoff of some new things we've got going on here, which is going to lead into a bigger discussion we're going to have here in a few moments. But of course, you can follow this show as well on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, Chromecast, really any place where you just can kick back and hang out in the lazy boy or on the couch or even in bed and watch the show. You can do that on the big screen if you so desire. But don't forget, the best way to consume the show is when you're on the way to work or at the gym or doing something productive, just, you know, tune in the show and take a listen right from the website. Of course, this show is sponsored in part tonight by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. We've got some great deals, and I believe, because I have not received an email yet, I think the deals that we've got kicking right now are going to roll over into April. So, you know, a few short hours here before we flip over into April 1st. But everything right now, as it stands, I think is going to be good. So, of course, you know, you can find, again, all my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All the codes are there. 32% off your new purchases, 25% off your orders, including the new top-level domains. We've got 50% off new hosting plans, 50% off the first 12 months of business website builder. Again, the $295.coms. We've got the new business product as well called Found. And get your business found. GoDaddy helps you with that, getting listed on just about every business app and a variety of different places, 10% off there. And, of course, all of our codes are available. And I want to thank all of you that use the code this month. It really goes a long way in supporting the show here, keeping the lights on and allowing us to continue to do what we do, and primarily what I do, but really my family, you know, is a big part of the show too, the sacrifice that they have to make for me doing this show every Monday, Thursday, then of course the new media show every Saturday, and everything else that really kind of keeps me cranking the podcasting space day and night is a big team effort here. So I just want to talk just a little bit, a big announcement. My team gave me permission to talk about this, but tonight's my last night wearing a Raw Voice shirt. Tomorrow morning, actually at from 3 hours and 55 minutes from now, I will no longer be a Raw Voice employee. I will put on a Apple shirt tomorrow morning. Now, hold your horses. Just hang on to your hats. So Raw Voice has been acquired by Apple, and mainly it's for our podcast statistics. They felt that we had a product that they needed to incorporate into iTunes to give the media creators that are getting their content consumed on the on iTunes ability to get stats over there. So that's one of the reasons. Pretty excited that, you know, I've always said that apples and blueberries go together. Of course, blueberry.com, apple.com just makes a perfect mesh there, a smorgasbord of taste, I guess, for better words. I officially become the president of podcast acquisitions at Apple. And more importantly, I've been allowed to continue to do this show for the time being. Now, what sold them on the acquisition was basically expansion plans that I have really been talking about for a while for taking podcasting with iTunes into the Android space and basically launching a podcast app, an iTunes podcast app, in Android. That seemed to really kind of give them like the da-da type of moment. You know, and part of my condition employment, you know, I was happy that Tim doesn't think that podcasters are a bunch of amateurs. You know, that was a big thing that Steve Jobs said in the early days. Now, the only bad thing is I'm going to have to give up using a PC. And PC gone. And instead will be probably, you know, some Apple Macs in here. But this is pretty cool. And the Ohanasaurus is going to change. It's going to be called AppleSaurus. And Tim said this thing here needs to go, needs to have a big Apple logo on the back. And it's already running on a Mac Mini. So, you know, he says, get that dinosaur out of there and put an Apple in there. So this is pretty exciting stuff. And again, official in 3 hours and 55 minutes from now. And right as we switch into April 1st. So it's going to be an outstanding move. And I know you're all excited about it and excited as I am. And my team is just, they're ready to go and to do great things. Great things over at Apple. But, you know, I basically told Tim, I said, you know, this Apple needs to be more open and, you know, allow me to talk to the podcasters and share Apple's plans and tell us what's going on. And he said, absolutely. He says, we need to open up more. Now, I think it's maybe just for the podcasting part, but that was his choice. So, it's going to be cool. So I'm going to be able to get to share what's going on inside the Apple world. So Geek News Central is going to continue. A little more Apple-ish around here. And one thing that also is going to happen is all of our Cedric will consider having everyone that is a podcaster get free hosting for life. He's talking about maybe open up the infrastructure at Apple to do that. And I thought, well, that will really shake up the business market and definitely be a positive on some other companies' bottom lines. But that's what we're all about, is being positive. So anyway, I'm sure you guys will have lots of comments about this. I'm, you know, glad that we are. Amazing announcement here for April 1st. All right, let's go ahead and switch to other topics at hand and get away from the big announcement. New media show, Rob and I did that this past Saturday, and we just kind of wrapped it down, talked about the space. So I hope you guys get a chance to check out the show. And Show 1000 planning is going to continue with maybe we'll get Apple to fly some of you guys in. Who knows? But Show 1000 planning is in work, and we're going to have a big event here. So let us know if you want to come out and party on down with a geek here at Geek News Central on later this summer. Okay, hey, final thing before we roll out of here, and a very serious note, the most serious note of the night. Definitely, if you're considering becoming a podcaster, you're going to want to have your hosting done at what was known as Blueberry will now become Apple. And that hosting is extraordinarily fantastic for your media. And use a promo code Geek News when you check out. That will absolutely guarantee that you get a free month of service. Irregardless of tomorrow's date. Okay, so let's go ahead and move into the regular topic tonight. You guys have a little fun there. I hope you did. If you haven't figured it out yet, check the calendar. Okay, so, come on. You know, this is what I'm putting up with Chrome right now. And let me just bring it up on the screen. Let me show you guys this. See the unhappy face? See the flash that's crashed? So it just drives me nuts. It really does. And I don't know why. It's probably something to do with one of the articles I've got opened up, but it definitely is not cooperating. So let's see if we can recycle that and bring it back up. And hey, Spitballs, how you doing in chat? Are you smiling? All right, let me go ahead here and open this up. Okay, let's see here. Dun, 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 dun. Yes, I promise we'll get on the road with the show here. I'm being a knucklehead. Hey, let's talk about some stuff that is really making news today. Some really some big stuff that's already popped that people have already talked about. Some April Fool's stuff. Can you imagine people doing April Fool's stuff already? Just crazy, isn't it? But anyway, April Fool's pranks are... Google's in action, putting a Pokemon into Google Maps, and they apparently, if you're searching around Google today, you might see Pokemon on Google Maps pop up once in a while. If you've been in Gmail already, you will have noticed that they wanted to change the template of your homepage to be a selfie, and you definitely want to select no thanks on the piece that they give you to or you get end up having to take a picture of yourself. But anyway, that's in Gmail. Now this one here, we're not 100% sure yet on the status of this particular article, but it's another article on CNET, and it talks about, and you know, all stories today, hey, Spitballs. yeah, of course. So anyway, the story, this on CNET, I'm reading the chat room here, getting a little activity here. So the story is that there's mind-reading technology can reconstruct faces from the viewer's brain. And basically they say, quote unquote, that they're able to hook people up and actually reconstruct a face that they've seen based on some sort of activity going on inside your brain. This is on the one that, do we believe this story or not today? That's the question. You know, any of these stories here that are surrounding the 31st of March and the 1st of April can always be suspect. So this is one that's not suspect. But anyway, they're saying that researchers at Yale had developed a method of reconstructing faces locked in the memories of other people. Okay. I think that one's a stretch. Now, we know for sure that, this is an old article. We're not going to bring that one up. So that's definitely not a April Fool's article. So we'll close that one. One thing that I did see, and a more serious note, was there was a conference at the 2013 Comic-Con in Denver. And actor and nerd icon Will Wheaton responded to a little girl's question about whether he was called a nerd when he was younger and how he dealt with it. And essentially what's going on here is he responded to this young lady. I think all of us geeks out there and us nerds would appreciate what he said to her. And I'll let you guys check out the video in the show notes. But, you know, it's pretty cool. It's he did a nice response to this, and I don't think I could have said it any better personally. But I think we all know that it's cool now to be a geek and a nerd. And even though kids in elementary school and middle school and high school may not always think that, I think we know that for the most part, a large majority of the nerds and geeks end up working for nice companies, making nice paychecks, and we win in the end. We may be hassled a little bit in high school, but we win in the end. Let's talk a little bit about the FCC. This is a serious note. The FCC has decided to free up 100 megahertz of spectrum for Wi-Fi. So this is big. 100 megahertz is you really think, though, of the scheme of the total electromagnetic spectrum. 100 megahertz is just a sliver, but because everything is so used up right now, with them voting to free up an additional 100 megahertz of wireless spectrum for unlicensed use in a move that will help alleviate congestion on Wi-Fi networks, this is big. So and it's in the area of the spectrum, I think of around 5,000 megahertz, that was used before by different types of, I'm trying to read here. I saw earlier it was previously used by satellite phone companies. So apparently the satellite phone companies aren't using this 100 megahertz spot anymore. So, but what's cool about this is that this is going to be unlicensed. In other words, anyone can use it. You're not going to have to buy space. You're obviously going to have to kind of work with other people nicely to deconflict if you're a commercial service. But this is very, very good. And Comcast CTO said that Comcast and other commercial operators using unlicensed spectrum could use this additional capacity to deploy Wi-Fi with download speeds up to 1 gig. And once this gigabit Wi-Fi is deployed, he said consumers will be able to watch high-quality, high-definition video on tablets, laptops, and smartphones without buffering interruption, as often happens today when more than one device is used on the same Wi-Fi connection. That's if they will provide the speed. So we'll see where this leads, but this is a big deal. On a spectrum side, they were originally thinking they were only going to get a smaller sliver than that. So time will tell. And if you haven't already figured it out, my little announcement about the Apple acquisition was obviously a April Fool's spot. I don't know if I was convincing or if you guys hadn't figured it out from the very beginning, but no, we were not acquired by Apple. Nice thought, though. Kind of a cool storyline. It would actually work if it actually happened. And I was thinking, okay, do I disclose that we were acquired for $256 million, trying to, use a 256, that geek, that's a pretty, it's a pretty geeky number, 256, when it comes to memory. I was thinking, should I use that? Did I ever sell it, or did it work on you there for a little bit? All right, so back to the grind. All right, watch the X1 floor. Or did you hear about this X1 solar flare that they're saying may disrupt communications on Wednesday? It's a pretty big one. The flare was unusually strong and fast. It was a X class, And so they're expecting a little bit of effect on Wednesday. But if Flash hadn't crashed on me, I could bring this over into the other page and you guys would be able to see the video. Today, the United States Navy, congratulations to Moonwalker Neil Armstrong. The late Neil Armstrong, I believe, his wife broke a bottle of champagne on a research ship for the first time and commissioned it. So congratulations there. And that Neil Armstrong now has his name on a naval vessel. So very, very, very cool. Let's see here. What else? Brain's not working 100% tonight. NASA radiation probes aiding space weather forecast. There's two NASA probes. They're helping scientists get a better understanding of how the giant belts of radiation around the Earth affect spacecraft circling the planet. Scientists are using data gathered by NASA's twin Van Allen probes, which launched in 2012. Basically, they have recording software that basically measures the radiation rates and levels and everything else. Pretty good article about this over at space.com. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. One thing I found over on GigaOM today is a little bit of an interesting article, and I've been seeing more and more of this. I'm sure you guys have too. But, you know, brands are big time into the news and publishing business. They have developed podcasts, they've developed YouTube channels, the aftershave company, fantastic video series that was done by, I am really having a brain fart here. It'll come to me. But anyway, there's brands are doing great content and they're doing, along with it, they're doing news and information. And they always tie it back to their brand. But brands apparently aren't the only ones becoming publishers and doing journalism. Advocacy groups are also getting into the space, which I thought this is an interesting move here. Because, you think about a advocacy group, and they would be doing outreach and press releases and awareness upon their particular issue. But they are now starting to get very deep on topics they care about and actually reporting on them. They've been putting these up in their blogs and their websites, and they have dedicated writers that are basically writing stories that really advocate what that group is advocating for, which, kind of makes sense. But they're starting to do much deeper in-depth articles and relating it back to their websites. I thought it was kind of an interesting move to see that they're not just, talking about what they're doing, but they're also bringing in what's happening in the world and why maybe you should support them with your dollars to help them do what they do. So it's just media and the creation of it in the space has grown dramatically here. And oftentimes we don't know if we're being pitched or not. Now, if you look at Red Bull and what they've done, they sponsor all these, I like to call them high octane sports, motorcycles, off-roading, base jumping, all this exciting stuff. And they've had an incredible level of brand awareness. Red Bull this, Red Bull that, Red Bull this. Coca-Cola, of course, has been famous forever. But companies are starting to really pick up the pace in some of the things that they do. Now, this doesn't come cheap. They have to spend money to do it. But some of them are doing it really on a low budget. And it's just like this show, it's pretty low budget from a production standpoint. A couple of years ago, we were at NAB and, this guy was talking to me, said, I'll help you with your production. And, I can do that for, like $3,000 an episode. And I kind of laughed at the guy. And I said, my production cost is my time, the cost of the bandwidth to deliver the show. That's my production cost. There is no additional. There's some computer gear here and stuff that, gets depreciated over time. But really, we've changed the model, whereas, broadcast television, you know, sometimes it's $1 million an episode to produce them. And you understand why. You look at the quality and the production. But, you know, I'm here in the studio. We're having a little chit-chat, little wrapping it down. And it doesn't have to be full of explosive graphics and, you know, all kinds of wild stuff going on. You know, this is a tech show. We're talking geeky stuff. And if we were doing the type of stuff that needed all the fancy graphics, we'd have to do that and spend the money. But companies are starting to realize they can do this stuff and not spend a lot. And it's really making an impact all the way across the world. And production companies that used to do all these types of jobs for small businesses are now being weeded out. I was talking with a good friend of mine, and his son is frustrated because they have a production company. And they used to go in and do commercials for businesses, do all the post editing, get everything done, get it packaged up and ready to go. And now the clients that used to pay them, you know, a large number of dollars to come in and do advertisements, you know, they're shooting it with a sub-$1,000 camera. And the intern is cutting up the ad and sending it over to the television station to run. And the quality is fantastic. So it's a time of change, but at the same point, I think we all have to be aware that, you know, as brands are spewing a message, you know, they have an agenda. And if you like the agenda, it's great. If you like the brand, it's great. But we have to protect ourselves, I think, a little bit, because agendas drive topics that are largely self-appealing or self appreciating, and we may not get both sides of the story when you're hearing from a brand, for sure. Okay, so let's move on from that. Get a little too deep in the weeds. Yahoo News is reporting that the Internet Archive is, and why I fully don't understand this, but they're going to preserve a woman's collection of 40,000 VHS and Betamax tapes. A Philadelphia woman's collection of 40,000 VHS and Betamax tapes will live on forever thanks to a group of volunteers and digitization services. This lady began collecting stuff that was being on the TV in 1976, and she recorded stuff all the way up through 2012. She died that December from lung disease at the age of 83. She was so prophetic in recording stuff that she sometimes would have as many as 8 VCRs running at the same time, basically running 6-hour tapes. Now, that's an incredible 40,000 tapes, and she was basically trying to record important events. How much money did she spend on tapes? You know, she had to be like the king of buying VHS up to 2012, but they're going to encode it all and do it from the beginning to the end. They're going to start with the oldest ones and work their way forward. This is pretty crazy, but they're available for free download on the archive's website. And I don't have a specific link, but this is, I'll throw the article up and you guys can check it out. There's a good article. And, you know, one of the things I've been doing, we made the switch. You guys can't see it yet, but on geeknewscentral.com right now, and let me just bring up the website. It doesn't look any different than it does right now, than it did. But underneath the hood, there's been a huge number of changes made to the ecostructure of the system. And I actually have to be very careful not to announce some of the subdomains that are available on the website right now, because we haven't officially mapped everything. But and the new template's not ready. But if you look at the website right now, it's essentially the same. But within the actual interface itself, the dashboard's changed, and now we're running a multi-site. And because we're going to have now, instead of Geek News Central, is going to be broken into like 5 or 6 different sites. The Chrome Show, Robot Underpants, Gadget Professor, all those shows will have their own dedicated sites with a dedicated domain. And then, yep, see, Flash is going nuts. But anyway, all that will be tied back with some widgets and stuff where you're still going to be able to see the content that's coming from the other sites, but it'll have a more of a network appeal. And what we're trying to do is I'm worried about performance. The sites as a whole get quite a bit of traffic. And now that we're expanding things out, we're looking way to optimize images. So one thing I was looking at was, okay, I told Angela, I said, let's put all the images up in the cloud. We'll put them up on probably an S3 or CloudFront, and we'll get them up there. And so when someone comes to the website, the images will actually be served, you know, there instead of from the website. It'll help with the website loading speed and everything. And in my research to find out the best practices to do this, I came across an article around makeusub.com that talks just about that and how to set up a CDN for your images specifically on your blog. And I thought as we go into this full transition of the website and the updates, I'm going to kind of share some of the tools I'm using. We wrote a plugin, or Angela wrote a plugin over the weekend, a multi-site plugin for PowerPress, so that we can make some management of the all the different blogs a little bit easier on the hosting and how the media gets distributed. So a lot of cool stuff going on. You can't fully see it on the website right now, but when we do flip the switch, I think you guys are going to be like, wow, this thing's really cool. We have put quite a bit of thought into it. And in working on that performance and, you know, making sure that the site stays speedy, we don't want to slow things down with the change. And this server's already got a dozen, 15, maybe 20 domains on it that aren't going to be part of this. So those are separate. That's adding to the load as well. We may actually have to go to another server at some point. Time will tell. But at this point, we're trying to optimize everything the best we can. But if you want to do that for your website, please consider doing that. Or actually just taking a look at this article. It's got some pretty good features. There's a lot of folks that are upset with Facebook right now. A lot of companies are. Specifically, Eat24 was I guess it's a restaurant or maybe a chain of restaurants. But they were really not happy with a lot of the change that's been happening on Facebook. And I actually said the other day on my own newsfeed on Facebook, I'm like, man, all I'm seeing is news, because they got the new interface. I'm sure many of you got the new interface on Facebook, and you got the big images now. And yeah, I'm doing a lot more scrolling to find stuff that came from family members, friends, and not just this bunch of news that takes me off to some crap video on some website. And it really, to me, the value of Facebook has just dropped tremendously, you know, over the past couple of years. And companies are saying, hey, we've invested a lot of time, a lot of money, you know, we've had a good following, people have liked our pages, they follow our pages, but we can't reach them anymore. So this breakup letter to Facebook from Eat24 was pretty big. And they basically said, hey, that's it. We're done. We're pulling out of Facebook. And if you're a fan, please load our app. And so they're trying to get people moved to their app, follow them there on their app versus following them on Facebook. I don't know what will happen, but this got a lot of press over the weekend. A lot of criticism, too, from individuals saying, hey, they knew what they were getting into. They shouldn't have put all their eggs in one basket, but, you know, they were promised one thing, and then companies change, and they change directions, and they change leadership, and Facebook obviously hasn't had a leadership change, but they sure have had a kind of a change in the way they're doing things, and it's largely driving because of the big dollar. They have to make lots of money to keep the stockholders happy. They're going to have a big stockholder meeting soon, and I guess a bunch of people have agendas to try to get Facebook to start supporting some different causes, but time will tell how that works out. All right, Radio Crackle, you now can send music and free videos to your Chromecast. So if you're a radio fan, RDIO and Crackle, if you use those, you can basically send music and videos to Chromecast, which is pretty cool. Heard one other, too, that had made the switch over the weekend and was available, but I think this is in lieu of Amazon's big announcement that's forthcoming on their set-top box. Hey, Microsoft has cut the prices of Azure to match Amazon's latest price reduction. So I love this, how they're they're chopping prices. And Microsoft had to drop the prices 27 to 35% to match Amazon. So this is fantastic for all of us that are using cloud-based services and so forth. I mean, it really is. It's an amazing change to the bottom line. And, you know, I was talking with my team members. I said, man, if bandwidth would drop this fast, you know, just imagine what we could do. One of the tricks and one of the things that we have found is that on Amazon, you pay for your time by the minute, by the hour, and it's so much, you know, per billing unit. But if you buy reserve instances, and basically guarantee that you're going to use that instance for a year or 2 years, we buy stuff generally in 3-year whacks. We buy a full 3 years worth of instance to get the best price. But what we're finding is that a lot of folks are out there buying these dedicated instances on Amazon, finding that they don't completely need them. And then what they're doing is they're putting it, there's a place where you can actually buy reserve instances of computing power, basically kind of like on an open market. And oftentimes we find that you can buy the reserve time on at a much cheaper price, maybe like 25 cents on the dollar. So let's say if originally we bought an instance, and it was going to cost us $1 an hour, and we already bought a 3-year plan and got us maybe down to 50 cents. You really can't reduce that price, but anything else you add on with these other products, you can almost find the same length of period and get it maybe for a quarter. So if you just have the timing right. So I think part of Amazon, that's one of the best kept secrets, and maybe it's not a secret anymore, is that you can buy these reserve instances kind of like on an open market. And if someone has bought one, they didn't need it and they sell it and they got to get rid of it, it's a tradable commodity. So it really works out pretty fantastic for saving money for data center, basically for all our infrastructure costs for servers and so forth. But if Amazon and the other CDNs continue to lower prices, especially on bandwidth, which doesn't rarely happen, it could really make a big, big difference, because obviously a big portion of our expense bottom line every month is not necessarily the server cost. While it's significant, it's the total bandwidth bill we get from our CDN. So, but anyway, I love to see these price wars, and I don't know how low they can go. Time will tell, but it's pretty fantastic. Yahoo is in talks to buy online video service NDN. This is an interesting move here, and I'm not very familiar with NDN, but News Distribution Network is basically a source of video syndication services. It supplies newspapers and other web publishers with clips about news, sports, politics, and other topics. So they're trying to buy them up to get them underneath their wing to kind of compete with potentially, I guess, YouTube. Square Market partners with Coinbase to accept Bitcoin. This is kind of an interesting move here. Square is the latest company to accept the cryptocurrency. So an announcement today on their blog, again, which isn't a April's Fool joke, Square assures us the company knows that Bitcoin can be used to buy goods and services with Square Market as of today. This means shoppers can pay using the virtual currency on Square's online storefront, which includes items from merchants around the world collected in one place. So this is kind of a big move here. Of course, there are some new tax laws about Bitcoins right now, so be aware of that as well. There's a blog I've never read before, and the guy that wrote his name is Nitish Dhanji. Oh, I'm going to destroy this. Nitish Dhanji, and he does a blog on information security, technology, and science. And he talks about the Tesla Model S, on essentially a potential security issue. They say that the 6-character password to get into a person's Tesla account is pretty easily to be phished, or basically brute force taken over. And so this thing does a lot. It'll unlock your car. It'll close the windows, honk your horn. I think it will even run the AC if you're prior to getting in the vehicle. But this is probably not good for the Tesla owners. I'm sure this will be addressed by Tesla in the very near future, but this was making press today. Those of you that have followed, this is completely off the beaten path. I don't even know why ours covered it today, but I showed this to my wife this evening, and she was kind of surprised. But there's been a ruling that Japan must stop hunting and killing whales in the Antarctic for scientific research after the International Court of Justice, ICJ, ruled that the practice is not legitimate. In a statement, the court said that although Japan's actions could be described as scientific research, the evidence does not establish that the program's design and implementation are reasonable in the relation to achieving its stated goals. It went on to conclude that the country's activities do not appear to be for the purpose of scientific research, but something else. I think we all know what that is. It says the annual hunts under the JARPA 2 program are widely seized to be attended for whale meat, which is sold to restaurants, according with the International Whaling Commission literature. So Japan has said they're not going to dispute the findings. And it doesn't stop them from trying to get a new permit. But obviously, Greenpeace and a variety of other organizations are very happy with this ruling. We'll see what happens. If any of you watched any of the, I think it was what was called Whale Wars or something like that, this will be welcome news to those folks, and I'm sure they're celebrating. But surprising defeat for the Japanese on this one. All right. Let's see here. What was the other one? Oh. I talked about Chromecast earlier. If you have a Vudu subscription, V-U-D-U, V-U-D-U, which I do, you can also use Vudu now to the Chromecast, which is pretty cool as well. So again, a lot of things heating up here prior to the announcement of the Amazon TV. All right, article over on The Verge. Purported iPhone 6 pictures said to come from inside Foxconn, and it shows a much skinnier phone, a taller and skinnier. Now, whether or not this has got any truth behind it, we don't know. But again, this picture came out of the Foxconn factory in China. And obviously so shows some sort of a prototype, and it's on a computer screen. It's not an actual picture of the device, but it's a computer screen, and someone has taken a picture of the computer screen at kind of a weird angle. But they do have some interesting dimensions and so forth, and some notes. We'll see whether or not this is the real deal here or not, but it does show that the lens extends a little bit outside the phone, which is something that they've done, I believe, for the iPad, in the iPad, one of the devices, the camera sticks out a little bit. But long story short here, this might be a picture of the upcoming iPhone 6. A good article by CNN talking about why Gmail and other email services aren't really free. And I think we have to all be reminded from time to time that Gmail is indexing everything that we write on our accounts and then using that data to present ads to us. So just don't forget that as you're using a service like Gmail. Also, those of you that are using Dropbox, Dropbox is basically people thought they got their hand caught in the cookie jar. In other words, people accused Dropbox of basically spying on people's folders. Now, what happened was over the weekend emerged that Dropbox has the ability to stop you or anyone else from publicly or privately sharing copyrighted content. So what Dropbox does is they have a system in place that prevents piracy. And what they're doing is they're using hashes. And any of you that know what a hash is, hash is a long stream of letters and digits that result from running a file through a cryptographic hash function. And basically each file has a hash size. And a hash could be example 31D55CF1D40F3CCE 82356B764669B84. And every file, every identical file will have the same hash. So that if a movie house has said, hey, we found these hashes are our intellectual property, if a person tries to share one of those files and it comes up as on the hash match list, Dropbox has got the ability to block it on the spot. They don't even need a DMCA takedown notice. But Dropbox did say, we don't look at the files in your private folders. They stress that the entire process is automated and that it never actually looks at the files. It just generates hashes for your files, which automatically match against a list of copyrighted hashes. Furthermore, Dropbox says your files are only checked against that list when you try to share a file. You just upload a bunch of movies and albums to your Dropbox for your own personal consumption. You won't get blocked. So, So a little bit of questions still out there, but they don't want to end up in the same position as Mega Upload did. Pretty cool article. Another article we're on The Verge talking about how a robot captures a human face in pretty crazy detail. Let me go ahead and see if I can load this and bring this up here. So again, another article over on The Verge, and it shows a robot taking a picture of guy's face. So if we scroll down, we see that they've got this basically a camera, and then they just snap away to get highly detailed images of a person's face. And in really exquisite, or in my opinion, too close for comfort and too close for details. And it just, you know, it kind of just really digs in, and you can see your stuff right down to the, you know, the single hair on an eyebrow or whisker or even grosser nose hair. But it really has the ability to get in and deep and map someone's face. So pretty interesting function of a robot taking pictures of people's faces. And again, I don't know the full details on how they're using that, but it is something that is kind of interesting. Hey, Samsung has lowballed the 4K competition with a $700 display. So this is pretty cool. You know, we've seen some 4K monitors already, but Samsung announced a new line of consumer monitors, including its first ultra-high-definition 4K display meant for desktop use. The UD590, now available pre-order, is a 28-inch desktop monitor with a resolution of 3840 by 2160. It's $700. You know, all other models that are coming out 4K this year are about a grand or more. So Samsung's really trying to push the market here. This is exciting news to me. I was talking with Don Bain today, the gadget professor, and he says everything, of course, I've been seeing the news come in too from NAB press releases, and he says the push is for people to buy 4K cameras and 4K monitors and 4K editors, and that's a big jump for a lot of people to jump to 4K. I don't understand, you know, we're pushing right now to out on the net at 1280 by 720, about 3 megs per second. Who's going to watch a show like this stream live on really anything more than 720p and get it, you know, be able to have a good quality video on the other side too? It's not just what I push. You got to be able to pull the data down, right? So I don't know. This 4K whole ecosphere, to me, I don't fully get it yet. But, you know, I understand it from basically filming movies and so forth. But guys like me, I just don't see the need to go to 4K. It's expensive to do. It really, 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 really is. Okay. Supreme Court skeptical of computer-based patents. The case of Alice Corp versus CLS Bank International poses a huge risk for both sides. If the court upholds a patent or rules, or narrowly against it without affecting most others. Basically, patent lawsuits are going to continue. So basically, they're talking about these consumer-based patents are starting to really impact price of equipment and consumer goods. And there's a lot of, you know, this patent stuff's get a lot of discussion in the space. It really has, in my opinion, had a big negative impact overall to the economy and companies trying to do stuff. I understand people trying to protect their intellectual property, but it gets a little bit overboard. Hey, you guys want to see the prototype to Google Glass? Well, it was pretty big and pretty geeky. Yahoo has a good expose of the early prototypes of Google Glass. We've come a long way from those first prototypes. I'll have the link for you up in the show notes. Also, if you're going to be in the market for a car in 2018, you'll be glad to know that rear view cameras will be required in vehicles starting in 2018. Basically, the DOT is finally addressing backup accidents, and all vehicles under 10,000 pounds will be required to have a rear view camera by May of 2018. I'm going to tell you, the backup cameras can be good and bad. And my car has a backup camera in it. I always tell my daughter, okay, so, you know, you put the car in reverse, your foot's still on the brake, you know, you have a tendency, and I see her doing it, going straight to the monitor. I'm like, remember, that only shows you exactly what's in back of you. I says, continue to use your mirrors, get a little better peripheral, turn your head, you know, so that you can see. And you always get the roll eyeballs, but these backup cameras are good and bad. A lot of people get killed every year by being run over. Children, 50 children were backed over by a vehicle every week. Wow, that's a huge number. And 210 people die annually from it. So anyway, this is a big change for automakers. All right, another article over in CNET. There is typical engineer versus marketeers or sales teams. And the pretty funny video here that if you work in engineering at all and you have to interact with your marketing or sales team, you'll get a kick out of this. Hey, Google Plus has added a page view counts to user profiles. I was looking at mine. I've had 435,000 page views, which I don't know if that's a good number or not. I see some folks that are in the millions. Shouldn't be surprised there either. But my page had 435,000 views. And again, you can follow me over at Geek Plus. Put me in a circle over there and get involved in the conversation. All right, there's been a lot of political backlash against Mozilla's new CEO. The LGBT community has really stepped up in a big way. The folks at OKCupid.com have basically blocked any Mozilla Firefox user and told them to go use a different browser, largely because of the CEO's who's opponent of equal rights for LGBT couples. And so there's been a lot of pushback. This guy has said some stuff that obviously has not endeared him to the populace. And I would suspect his days may be numbered over there at Mozilla. All right. There's the one thing additional I wanted to talk about on the FCC. And they're basically saying that the with the ruling they put down today with 100 megahertz, they also made a ruling that makes it easy for TV broadcasters to do business together. Basically, they approved two orders that change how broadcast stations share resources and how they can jointly negotiate retransmission agreements with paid TV producers. Some industry insiders suspect the FCC may be choosing to implement these rules now as a way to encourage TV broadcasters to participate in the agency's upcoming incentive spectrum auction. In other words, they're trying to get TV broadcasters to give up some spectrum and basically tell them, hey, you can work closely with your competitor, share some resources. So we will see where this leads, but they're trying to free up spectrum wherever they can. And I don't know if we want news stations working together or not. I know we have a bit of that going on here in Hawaii. It's a little weird, but you can tell they share resources. All right, last couple of articles tonight. Got through this stuff relatively quick. Yeah, I think we're doing good on time. For those of you that are Airbnb fans, Airbnb is planning to collect hotel taxes for San Francisco rentals. So be prepared to pay the 14% hotel tax this summer if you rent an Airbnb location. Also, the FTC has basically come out with some new rules Specifically, when brands post something on Pinterest, they want disclosure. They basically saying that, hey, you're going to take a picture of a pair of shoes and provide a link to your store. You need to disclose that it's a product endorsement, or if it's someone that's doing the product endorsement, or if it's an actual company doing it. So this is smart. People need to know when someone's been paid or given something to produce something. All right. I was going to show you guys my Google Plus page, those of you that are watching video. See if this thing loads. So as you guys can see, 435,167 views and a little over close to 17,000 followers on my Google Plus page. I hope you guys will follow me on Google Plus. You can just search for Todd Cochran, look for the guy in the tie, and it's got all the show logos on the on his profile page as well. Okay, I think that's going to wrap us up for content. Again, April's Fool, no acquisition by Apple, just so no one starts stouting up, pouting, basically screaming out on Twitter. It's going to happen anyway because someone won't listen very far into the show. Hey, I got a couple of emails in. One is from Curtis. He said, hey, Todd, you talked about the Philips LED system in the latest episode. Philips is just the latest with network-powered and controlled LED systems. Redwood was one of the first 4 years ago. GE has a product as well, redwoodsystems.com. And I think I read this on the last show, but Nir sent me an email. And he said, hey, Todd, I'm so happy to hear that you use WAZ on a regular basis. It's understandable. Extremely popular here, as I'm sure you'll understand. The exit over $1.1 billion from Google is remarkable. But despite my writing to you a few times, why do you still mispronounce the app's name? The WAZ name is pronounced Waze. It's W-A-Z-E. It's WAZ. You know, I understand Waze, but it's W-A-Z as Waze. You know, WAZ, W-A-Z, like Wozniak. Or actually, I think he's W-O-Z, WAZ. Waze. WAZ. Oh, man, I can't win for losing. But Nir, thanks. I definitely appreciate it. It's a Toddism, you know. We'll move on. Hey, folks, thanks for being here, and thanks for being part of the Ohana. Thanks for putting up with my antics and mispronouncing, basically destroying the English language, my mispronunciation of words. Really what happens here, and it's been a problem ever since I started the show. It's the end of my day. It's late. I start the show at 8 o'clock Hawaiian Standard Time, and I start my day at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we're not here in the United States. We don't take naps. So I've already had, a pretty long day, 13, 14, 15 hours before I turn on the microphone. And, that's just the way it has to be. That's the way things have to work. I got kids in school, raw voice stuff, clients I have to deal with. That's the way we're doing the show. And it doesn't mean that I'm always on my A game at this time at night. And I think you guys realize that. New people may not and may criticize me. It's, unlike most shows that, that record at 9 o'clock in the morning and people are fresh and in the studio, I really don't have that option based on everything that I do right now. And until I actually get a secretary that maybe is here or in our Columbus office, I might be able to shift my times a little bit, but my hours are just consumed. And if they're not consumed with my business, they have to be consumed with my family. And I have to weigh that, and it's not easy. So sometimes showing up here at 8 and doing the show, the mouth is not working the way it should. And especially the brain's not firing on all cylinders. Now, has it hurt the show over time? Yeah, probably. But, those of you that have been here 936 episodes understand that. I definitely appreciate your consideration here for me. Just laugh at me and just call me a dumbass, So that's just the way it works, right? Okay, so anyway, thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here, and really... they are very important to me, and I hope they're important to you. Use my promo code, share them with your family, friends, people that you know. Some fantastic savings right now. Get those savings locked in as soon as you can. Those that the 32%, the 25% off code, the 250% codes for different stuff, the 295.com, geeknesscenter.com/GoDaddy. You find all the codes there. We'll be updating the page tomorrow if they send anything new to us to share. But we definitely appreciate your support here on the show. For all the insiders that continue to, you know, $2, $5, $10, $15, and $25 a month, thank you. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for being an insider and supporting the show. Did not get a huge number of folks wanting to win a Chromecast. So, not a Chromecast, a Roku stick. Excuse me. We're not giving away Chromecast. We're giving away Roku sticks. So, extend that to the next show. So just insider at geeknewscentral.com or geeknews@gmail.com to get your entries in, to win a Roku stick. Okay. But, that's going to wrap us for the show tonight. And thanks for being here. No, we're not being acquired by Apple. That was the April Fool's joke for me to you. And, if I got you, I'm glad I did, but, wishful thinking, right? All right, folks, everyone take care. We'll see you next time, and aloha.